Hey, do you live in Denver? Do you want to see an advanced screening of Horrible Bosses 2? You know you do. I'm looking forward to this movie. Well, we're giving away 3 pairs of VIP tickets to a preview screening November 20th here in Denver. And if you'd like to be one of those 3 VIPs, hit me up. Write me at McGrew@MSN.com. That's McGrew@MSN.com. And I will set the first 3 people up with VIP passes to see Horrible Bosses 2 November 20th. Okay? Be the first of your friends to see this movie. It's going to be a good one. Horrible Bosses 2 is in theaters November 26th, but you'll get to see it first November 20th at the special VIP screening. Hit me up now at McGrew@MSN.com. First 3. Good luck. Aloha, Mud Baby, Pod People, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. I am back in the basement.
Studio basement.
I confuse myself sometimes, but I'm back down here in the Remasculate Studios. Got Podcat here with me. Rain is up in my lap. It's very cold today in Colorado. Matter of fact, I think it's 6 degrees and snowing, which makes this podcast even more enjoyable because I recorded it in sunny California last weekend. It was 88 degrees and beautiful. I was working at the Ice House Comedy Club, run by the always adorable and affable Bob Fisher. Worked there for years. Great guy, great club. I sat down with Bob and his son Mitch, and we recorded this podcast in, well, they'll explain the room that we're in when you hear the podcast, but it was so much fun. We had great shows, well, for the weekend. Thursday was a little slow. Saturday, packed, beautifully packed. Turned away people packed, and that's the way you gotta love a comedy club. And the show is packed today. It is packed full of fun topics. You're gonna have a great time. Enjoy the show. Share it with your friends. As always, I want to remind you that you can find it on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, Podbean. We are just everywhere, and we're there because you guys keep turning other people on to the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm pointing my finger as I say this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the cat's staring at me. And I thank you too, Rain. So let's get on with the podcast. Here it is. Bob Fisher, legendary club owner Bob Fisher, and his son, Mitch.
Wow, that was perfect timing.
That was perfect timing, yeah.
Where does that, is that your car?
No.
Is that a neighbor's car being broken
into? All right, it's off.
Now it's off.
Now it's off.
I hope it picked up. Yeah. I know we all heard that,
that
car alarm
great, yeah.
just as we started the podcast.
Wow.
So
bitter person.
Well, that's to let everybody know we are in L.A. That is the state bird of Los Angeles.
Must have car.
The Mazda.
That's right.
So that's it. Well, we are sitting in the guest portion segment. What do you call this area, Bob Fisher?
Room. The Cancun room.
The Cancun
because
room?
Because it looks like you're in Cancun, Mexico. The walls are ridiculous colors and shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm walking in one of the streets in L.A. Like somebody's going to try to sell me a voodoo candle and some melon any second out of one of these rooms.
I feel it's the 60s and I'm on an acid trip looking around. Or at least a friend who told
works.
Me about that.
It works.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here with Bob Fisher, who is the owner of the world famous Ice House, and his son Mitch. So, hi guys, how you doing?
Hey.
Hi, Steve.
Thanks for having me in your Cancun room.
We look forward to you coming here. You know, I know it's only once every 6 or 8 years, but it's fun.
But it's fun when I get here.
Yeah. We love it.
I always feel like it's some kind of space time continuum thing, like. You've unzipped the bag, and I've come back to life and able to do, because nothing seems to change in L.A. When you go away and you come back, you go, it's the same place.
Yeah, only the demographics. only San Gabriel, which was 100% Latino 30 years ago,
right.
is now 100% Asian. So demographically,
that
LA's,
could start a war, though.
Well, that could be a problem. That could be a problem, but it's amazing in a short period of time how the demographics of L.A. have really changed.
But you feel like it's kind of the same because the weather doesn't change. The certain things are on that corner. Your traffic is the same. You feel like, I didn't really go away at all.
No, it never rains. Last year, I put on a jacket 3 times in a year. That's the truth. Is that ridiculous?
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Especially you living in Denver, right?
Which freezing all the time.
Yeah, you wear a jacket when you're going to the bathroom.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going out to let the dog out to pee. Where's my coat?
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you were asking me about how much this podcast pays to be on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will bring you guys tacos from the Jack in the Box at the bottom of the hill tonight after the show, because that's the kind of budget this podcast has.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty much it for me. So, Mitch, take over, buddy.
Yeah.
I've got better things to do.
They're 2-for-1, though, so that's perfect.
That's the amazing thing about Jack in the Box. The 2-for-1 tacos.
Mm. 99 cents.
They're not really tacos, though. They're something fried.
Yeah.
They call them tacos, but it's just something fried.
It's true that if you look up the ingredients on the website, it's like 1%. Sodium oxide or something, which is the term for sand. There is actually sand.
Seriously?
In the taco. They don't even deny it.
We would freak out, I think, if we actually knew what we were eating from fast food restaurants. Things we think are a hamburger patty.
Yeah.
There's probably 3% hamburger in that patty, and the rest is weird.
Like
weird wood filler.
Pulp and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yak
chemicals.
Meat.
Yak meat, yeah. It would be pretty strange stuff, right? Like what do they call it? Genetically modified
GMOs.
I'm sure they're loaded with it.
Well, you know that new Fireball liquor? Do you see that? They're pulling it from stores in Europe because it's made with antifreeze. It's the same chemical that's in antifreeze.
Wow.
Good stuff.
You know, my dad, who lived in the Depression, and he owned a gas station, he said in those days the people who were hard on their times, the drunks and the winos, they would come in and they would buy a thing of antifreeze.
No.
Because it was so cheap, cheaper than wine, and they would strain it through cheesecloth, and they would drink that.
Oh, that's
so
gross.
That can't be good for you, although probably similar to my wife's cooking. Still.
Strain.
So you do want me to bring you those tacos?
Oh, I think I need them. My son is here, but my wife is not here with us, so I can say that.
Now, you were saying, though, there's a taco truck just past the Jack in the Box that has better tacos here in L.A.?
Yeah. The real thing.
It is actual street tacos?
Yeah, street tacos. But now, Mitch said, and I didn't know this,
they're controlled by gangs.
They're
all gang controlled, and they have territory disputes all the time. I'm not even kidding. People have died because of tacos here
taco
in Highland Park. Yeah.
Taco stands. That is my taco corner.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Territory.
And what is the name of this gang? I think
it's the Avenues. That's the big gang that's been here for however many years. So.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of gang problem in the area, or?
Well, not right where we are now in this room, but if you... but if
Bob,
you, go,
you were never part of a gang, Bob. Is that what you
right.
were?
I was part of... I had accountants for friends. That's as close as I came to being part of a gang. But if
Sons
you go,
of accounting.
If you go down the street, down to where we went today, Figueroa, to get a little dim sum... and you stay down there after midnight, you got to be a little cautious.
Right. Yeah, this whole thing of the hood, the hood. I grew up when a hood was something you pulled up over your head in a jacket.
Right. Or lifted when you needed to put a quart of oil in your car.
Yes.
Right?
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
There's this whole new change of terms you've got to come aware of when you live out here.
To the hood. Yeah, you got to be careful where you walk sometimes. Although, I remember a number of years ago, someone came to visit me who lived in Australia. And based on what they saw on their news there, they thought every step, every block, they were going to see dead bodies. And I went, I've lived here 50 years, and I've never once seen anyone, I haven't seen a punch thrown.
Never?
Never, in all the years I've been here. I've never seen a fight.
You've been throwing them, though.
Yeah, I've been throwing them, but...
But you keep hearing about it. Like, just even Friday, I heard on talk radio, KFI, your station here, about... hikers finding a dead body of a Fox TV executive. Did you hear about that?
Oh, I hadn't, but that's a good idea.
That's a good start.
Oh, Yeah, and they had a Johnny Kid. They had this guy who was like, ew, it was just me and my dog were walking, and my dog started digging, and I'm like, get away from there, and there's like part of a skull. Like,
yeah.
You know, this. So everybody thinks that's typical of, of L.A.
That's all they saw in Australia, and I went, no, you know, you just, there's a few areas you can't go in.
Like in every
city. Like in every city.
Any city.
But generally, you know, it seems pretty safe here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I like it when you come out here, Steve, not necessarily because I enjoy your company,
uh-huh.
but I enjoy the meals that we attend while you're out here.
It's amazing.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I don't enjoy Steve's company. I do enjoy the meals. Yeah. So that's your...
Well, that's why I try to keep quiet. I just sit there with food in my mouth because I realize...
Yeah. Doing your impressions of your unique, both Japanese and... Vietnamese. Can we hear a little Vietnamese? Very good. And now Japanese?
You're probably saying something.
I don't, probably.
We look forward to
that's
your
right. Hey, what do they say? If you put a monkey in front of a computer,
they're going to type a novel at some point.
You have probably...
offended somebody somewhere.
Well, just by doing it, you offended a lot of people.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
And then if it's translated, I think you offended some of the less intelligent.
But see, as a comedy club owner, you've seen comedy change over the years.
Yeah.
We just grew up, and I did, where you just did impressions of things that you really saw. Hmm. You know, it didn't. You weren't really being mean. You just kind of went, you know... And everybody go, like, I've seen that before.
Mm. And it's comedy.
It's comedy. But now it's like, oh, that is just horrible.
Now,
why would you?
What did Chris Rock get in trouble for? He was on Saturday Night Live and he took the Ebola thing too far.
Yeah, he did Ebola and the Boston, talked about the Boston Marathon.
What did you think about that?
I think there's certain, even as a comic, I think there's certain things that you try to avoid.
Yeah,
you know,
And
I thought, well, you know, he got laughs out of it, but it's not something that I definitely would have done.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
He took it to the edge and beyond.
To the very edge and beyond.
Now, some comedians would go, that's what comedy is. Mm. That's where you're supposed to take
it. You're supposed to make people uncomfortable.
That's real comedy. What he did was real comedy.
Yeah. Now, what do you think? As the...
Well, if I hear something that makes me squirm... I'm not happy with it. I don't believe that, while I admire him for doing that, I don't believe that every topic is fair game and that you do have to avoid certain things and you do have to wait a certain amount of time sometimes.
Yeah.
So, but I can understand someone who goes, no, comedy is the last bastion of free speech.
Mm-hmm.
You say whatever you want, whenever you want. So I get that too.
Yeah, and that's why some guys I've heard of are going against... can you make sure there's no cell phones or no pictures get taken or no video gets done? Because that's supposed to be your safe haven.
Right.
That you, in this comedy club, I should be able to say whatever and make a joke about it and not you throw a video up on the internet and now it's taken out of context.
Right. That makes sense. Or even they're working on new stuff. And a lot of times, as you're aware, new stuff may not be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want someone taking them their new stuff, posting it, and then people look at it and go, wow, I thought that guy was funny. He's not funny at all.
Yeah.
So you're right. It has to be a place, workshop.
Or you're working on a special if you're whoever is on TV and someone will film it and put it on YouTube and then people watch your special. Oh, I've already seen
it. I've already seen all this.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of not funny, what town are you going to be appearing in next? I'm kidding. You know what?
Club.
Here's the way I feel about the Ice House. I have seen thousands and thousands of comics throughout the years. And in all honesty, I put Steve in my top five. I love what Steve does. And at this point, if my life depended on an audience laughing, I would put Steve McGrew on stage.
Oh, my God. You were getting four tacos.
I wouldn't be living much longer after that point. But no, I would put you on stage, Steve.
Well, thank
honestly,
you. I appreciate
you're fantastic.
That. I mentioned that to you. I think it was 2010 when you did the 50th anniversary of the Ice House.
Yeah,
and you had me at the very end,
the 3-hour marathon
of the show.
Yeah,
you know, there's Jay Leno and Paula Poundstone and Arsenio Hall and Dana Carvey and Brad Garrett,
Gabriel Iglesias, Paula. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm like at the bottom, and I'm like, hold on,
yeah.
Why do I have to
tough acts to follow?
All these follow, and you were like, well, they're celebrities. I know what you're going to do.
Well, that was a tribute to how good I feel you are, and also it's a little bit of a problem. You book celebs, And you kind of have an idea about the sequence the show should go in that would be the best sequence. But then you get Jay Leno going, oh, I need to go on early.
Yeah, they start moving things around.
And then you go to Dana Carvey. He goes, yeah, I need to go on first.
And you're not going to say
And all of a sudden, yeah, what are you going to do? You're just appreciative that they were willing to do the show. And so you start doing it that way, and then the sequence gets out, and it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Plus, the other thing is, I didn't realize the show was going to last 3 hours long. That, you know, an ideal comedy show,
yeah,
about an hour and 45 minutes elapse is enough for an audience. They get a little tired after that. This thing, though, yeah, I just kept. I had to sell out 3,000 seats. So you keep booking acts, hoping, oh yeah, that'll add to the draw. Okay, I think that'll do it now. And by the time you're done, you go, okay, I think I'll sell 3,000 seats. And you've got, you know, 81 comics and 11 hours of comedy.
Right.
So that's
right.
That's what happened.
Regardless of the time, though, that was an amazing show.
It was. A great one. Definitely wasn't.
Yeah, that was a proud moment for me to put that show together, and that was quite a lineup.
Who has been your biggest star to come out of the Ice House? Who would you say?
Well,
but you've had so many, it's probably hard to pick. But.
Well, two guys, I would say. I had one guy who I'd heard, this is a little while back, I'd heard that he wasn't doing very well. So I went and watched him two nights during the week. At the end of the week, I agreed, and I talked to him. I said, you know, I have to say, you're not doing as well as our other headliners, comics. And so I just want to let you know, I'm not going to book you back. I try not to blow smoke. I try just to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what? I appreciate your honesty. And I wrote in my little booking book, unexciting headliner. He was a headliner, but not an exciting one. Unexciting headliner, don't book back. That was Jerry Seinfeld. So, I don't know whatever happened to him.
I don't. He just sort of disappeared off the face.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there, but I'm sure I was right on that. And then the other one was our $25 a night Tuesday MC for a year, who I remember in the office, he said, well, what do you think? Do you think I should give up my day job and do comedy? He remembers that I said, no, keep your day job. I don't remember that, but, you know, I forget
he
a lot of things.
He says he does.
He says, and whether he holds it against me, I don't know, but anyhow, that was George Lopez.
Mm.
So those are just a couple little stories about comics.
But George has definitely stayed good and in touch and working the club, and he never took that as, I'm not coming back here.
You know what? Here's the way I feel about comics. If they're on stage and I put them there, the deal is done. They no longer owe me. They never owe me anything. George doesn't owe me a thing. However, we haven't seen George on the Ice House stage since 2009.
Really?
It's been a while, yeah.
This was basically his home. This
it
was
his home
him
club. Well, let me put it to you this way. This will probably get me in trouble, but it's the club where he met his former wife.
Oh.
So, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe he holds that again.
Yeah, I didn't say it. Who knows?
He did thank you when he got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, he did?
I know he mentioned
it. Oh, that's nice. I don't know that. And look, as far as former wives, you know, hey, except for Mitch here, who's 18 years old, we could pretty much go around the table, right, and carry on a long conversation about former wives.
It's bad when you have to start saying, which wife is that? When people go, now, which wife is that? This is number three. Okay, this story goes to number one.
I was sitting around the table. There were four of us. And there was 14 marriages.
Oh, my God.
Now, four people.
That's
three. How many? Three for you, four for you, three. I mean, it's crazy. It's like everyone needs one. You got to have an ex-wife, otherwise you haven't really lived.
Now,
so
people will think that if you've been together like 4 or 5 years, now they're like, "What? How do you do it?"
Right? Yeah,
that's
almost
like a Hollywood marriage. Now, you know, you've been together 5 years,
right?
And
wow,
not too long ago, if you were if you weren't staying married for the entire time, that was an abnormality. Everyone was staying.
Everybody stayed.
Divorce was not.
Well, women couldn't find jobs, so literally if their husband wasn't taking care of them, they didn't have work out there. They hardly had a way to make a living. So they hung in there with even bad marriages, I'm sure, just so they could eat and have a place to stay.
Do you think people looked at marriage, though, different if when they went into it? Like, they almost was a job interview, though. Do we like the same things? Are we going to raise kids under the same rules? Do we, you know, there was more of this, instead of like, we both love to skydive, so we got married.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah. The first marriage is supposed to be based on sex.
The first marriage?
Yeah, it's not, you know, the hormones are raging, you're younger, you're not making necessarily really intelligent decisions mm-hmm. about whether this person is going to be good for you in 10 or 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is fun. I'd like to do this almost every night.
Forever.
Yeah, yeah.
So, is that the story with either of you?
Yeah. Is that the story with...
No.
Why was he invited to be a part of this kind of podcast?
I needed somebody to drag it down.
Okay, good.
Somebody to every once in a while
albatross.
Bring us back to Earth.
He's did you say the albatross?
Yeah,
he's the albatross.
No, he's a good guy.
That is not.
You know, when I was dating, when I was single for a long time, and you'd go out with someone for the first time, I'd always go, hey, just have fun on the first date and don't give any heavy weight to it. Because everyone's nervous on the first date. She's not being who she really is. Mm-hmm. You're not being who you really are. Just enjoy it as best you can. And right. then if you're still interested, start to ask questions and wander on the second date, wonder about the person on the second or the third or the fourth date. But don't do this thing where you ask a million questions on the first date and try to determine whether they're the right person for you, because that doesn't work.
Well, what do you think about this, that when you ask somebody after a date, you go over to the house to pick them up, you immediately have sex and then go out because the pressure is totally off. Then you don't have that whole tense thing of how's this dinner going, how am I saying, the right things? Like,
not a bad idea. I did honestly feel as that when I was dating that until you had sex with that person, you really didn't know whether they were the right person for you or not. You needed to kind of, I mean, terrible to say, get it out of the way. But you actually did kind of have to get that part of it out of your way, especially a guy's head. Only then could you really start to evaluate them and go, oh, she's nice, she's intelligent. We could be, you know, we could have fun together and enjoy life. But until the sexual thing was a little bit out of the way, tough.
Well, don't you think that has something to do, when you saw like younger, that the testosterone level, the higher that it is, it pushes logic out?
Oh, yeah.
So as you get older and testosterone starts to drop, there's more room for actual logic.
Absolutely.
So your thinking is like...
Yeah, and based on what you just said, I think I'm probably one of the most logical people in America, because I have 3 testosterones left.
They measure it with a micrometer.
That's right. It's like, you know, Brad Garrett. I'm 5'5" about.
Uh-huh.
So Brad Garrett, the comedian, is 6'9", and I used to MC at the Ice House. So when I would introduce him, I would purposely even lower the mic me a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I'd kind of be bending over for the mic. So when I got off stage and he got up there, the mic literally was below his waist.
It was like he was...
Yeah, and I would purposely... People would laugh just when they saw him walking up there and looking where the mic was. And I walked really slowly because I knew what was going to happen. He'd go, hey, Bob, how tall are you? And I'd go, 5'5". And he'd go, I've got sperm bigger than you.
Yeah, watching Brad is always fun because people are shocked that he's not Robert.
Right.
You know, they think of him as just Robert.
He's like a meaner Don Rickles.
Yes.
I mean, he goes after people.
Yes.
At the anniversary show, did you see it? Judge Ito from the O.J. Simpson trial was in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
And he, as they say, tore him a new what, you know? and the judge loved it. He was laughing and getting, what can you do, I guess. But he really went after him.
I think people like it when you go after him like that. I watched Brad at the club in Vegas, and people seem to like to be part of the show. As long as it doesn't seem overly mean or that was too far, they really do. And sometimes you can even take it too far as long as they're having a good time. And you rarely ever see somebody just, you know, I shouldn't say rarely ever. I've never seen somebody jump up, hey, stop it, or that's too...
Yeah. Well, you don't go after people, but have you ever been, you know, you come off stage and you said something about some guy's girlfriend as a joke. He didn't think it was funny and he kind of wants to get at you a little bit? Is that...
I've had that happen once. It was years and years ago. But yeah, just one time. Like, can't talk to my girlfriend like that. Oh, yeah, I did. The show's over, and I did.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good. So we mentioned a comic named Ian Bagg, and who's Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm standing in the back of the room, I'm going, whoa. It can't be much longer before I got to get on stage and break up a fight here. They're gonna kill this guy.
You can just feel it.
Well, he won't. He is a pit bull. He grabs on and says stuff. It's funny, but it's
funny.
Pretty aggressive, insulting to people. And I'm always ready. There's going to be a fight there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like a sample bouncer.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want me to. You wouldn't want to be in a dark alley with me as your buddy.
Yeah. Has it ever happened? Have you ever had to break up a fight between a comic and a customer?
I don't remember. I don't think so. Mm. I don't think I've ever had to break up a fight. Some guy got mad at me, a drunk. You can't reason with him. And he was going to come back. We finally got him out, my, you know, managers and stuff like that. And he said he was coming back. And they were convinced that this guy was coming back.
Like he'll come back, shoot up the
place
or something? Yeah,
or come after me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because I'm pretty gentle with people. Mm. I don't. And they were sure. And my people actually locked me in my office and wouldn't let me come out. And he came back.
He wow. did really did.
He came back looking for me, and they went, he's gone home.
So then I'll be back again.
Yeah, right. So they were protecting me. But,
that's
you know,
scary.
We're pretty lucky. The Ice House has been there a long time, and the club gets a tremendous amount of respect from both the customers and the comedians that appear there. So,
well, it really truly is the legendary Ice House. When people, you know, I posted a picture Thursday night on stage, and everybody's like, wow, the Ice House. Mm. Other comics are coming underneath the picture. You know, one day I'll work there. I mean, it's in the head of comics, the Ice House is...
I know, it's amazing. It does have a great reputation. That makes me pretty proud. And I joke with Mitch and with my wife that wherever you go, if you mention the Ice House, they've been there, they appeared there, they know someone who worked there, they work there, It's happened to me off the coast of Maine. It happened to me at customs as I was checking into Florida. Stuff came up and people, oh yeah, the Ice House. So that's pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. Five million people.
You were traveling in China and they were like, Ice House.
That sounds familiar. Pick a color. Oh, that's your line.
Pick a color.
That's your line.
So Mitch, being the son of the legendary club owner, how have you not gotten into comedy? I mean, how have you, seriously, you've been around it all your life. What kept you, like, why aren't you with Pauly Shore?
Why. I'm trying to avoid that. I'm trying to avoid Pauly Shore status.
Is that what it is?
Well, I guess whenever I think about it, whenever I start thinking maybe I'll do that, then I see a comic come up on stage that's just been doing it for a long time, that's just, you know, one of those comics where you go, that guy's really funny. And I think I could never do that. I don't think I could live up to that if I tried, you know. So.
But everybody starts at some place. Even your dad was emceeing. I mean,
right.
You got comedy blood in you. You're a comic yourself, so.
First of all, I didn't like the way you just said that. When you went, even your dad was emceeing. I mean, that was low.
That was mean. Low.
It takes a certain talent to be an MC.
It's true. You were very
not
good.
Much.
Not a lot, but a little bit anyhow. You know, Mitch said an interesting point. You know, you see some people and you go, wow, I could never be that good. Well, of course, you don't have to be as good as them necessarily to be a celebrity. And also you're looking at them from kind of low man on the totem pole. You know, you've just started out so it takes time to grow. David Letterman did you see his tribute to Robin Williams?
Mm-hmm.
What he had to say?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, the old comics there would want to gaze at the new guy and kind of giggle a little bit in terms of under the breath, like, not so good. And he said they looked at this guy the first night and they all looked at each other and went, time to just pack our bags and go home. We are not ever
going to
be as funny as this guy. He's on a whole different level.
Right.
So that happened.
Well, let me ask you, Steve. Now I'm a clean slate. Maybe I'll go that route. Maybe I won't. Having been a comic for as long as you have, would you recommend someone go into comedy or pursue a more sane profession?
A more sane profession. But there's no more rewarding profession other than being probably a pediatric nurse.
Hmm.
Pediatric nurse. I don't know where that came from.
Which reminds me. Now, that was a good question that my son asked you, right?
It was a very good question.
He is known for asking good questions. He really does. This is the favorite question he asked me about a year ago that actually stopped me in my tracks.
Uh-huh.
He said, What
is the strangest orifice you've bled out of?
Yeah.
What
is the strangest orifice you've ever bled from?
I still don't think I've got an answer. from
No, that. I'm not sure. I can't. I'm still stunned.
Okay. Have you?
Do you have a lot of orifices?
I don't have an answer for that one. How about you, Steve?
Pee hole.
Oh, that's not to bleed out of.
No, I just made that up. But no, that's the only, that would be the strangest that I could think of.
Right,
because I sit here, ran it through my head, like eyeballs. No, I've seen that. Ear, broken eardrum. No,
you just made that up. You made that up, Steve.
I know. I pulled it out of my pee hole.
Yeah. So here's my recommendation for you: a Z-Pack.
Oh, see.
A Z-Pack will handle that.
Z-Pack takes care of just about everything.
Yeah, you don't want to use them too often. And build up an immunity.
So you have, I will tell the audience this, you have a real Indian tomahawk upstairs, made of stone, it's stone and handle, I'm sure it's a reproduction, but it is an Indian tomahawk.
We're not sure. This is not something that appears like you could throw it accurately.
Uh-huh.
And Mitch and I think that because of that fact, it has to have a name other than a tomahawk.
Why? I have a question. Why are we discussing the tomahawk?
Because I'm about to go back to your comedy career.
Okay.
Oh, that's where I'm heading back with this.
Oh, yeah.
Now, because you weren't sure it's a tomahawk,
right.
But you were playing with it, and you were hacking with it.
I'm pretty sure.
And we came up with this, that you should just be the tomahawk comic.
Right.
That you just hold this tomahawk on stage.
Don't talk about it. Don't mention it at all. It's off limits. Tell the MC, don't talk about the word.
Yeah. Wear some Indian war paint on your face, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Even though you're not an.
Yeah, and then just do your set.
Just do a set, and every time at the end of every punchline, just
chop
just
down.
So people, and that becomes the symbol that people know that's your.
Like the Atlanta.
The hump tomahawk chop of the Braves or whatever.
Yeah, the Braves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. That could be my gimmick.
That could be your gimmick. Because I think in this day and age, everything has to have a gimmick.
The listeners are witnessing the inception
of the tomahawk.
The tomahawk comedian.
Wow. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That would be good.
Tomahawk.
So, that would make me proud.
Would it make you proud?
Oh, yeah.
If everybody thought of your son as the tomahawk comic.
I think it's great.
Tom A. Hawk. I could change my name.
Yeah, and then
Thomas Adam Hawk.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That's actually,
and you can see the logo with the tomahawk in the lettering there. And
it's already my career. I'm good.
And people listening right now, oh my God, he is just as hacky as Pauly Shore.
And if you could actually, it wasn't called skinning a white man. What did you do?
Scalping.
If you could actually scalp a Caucasian and get that on TMZ, that would further
blow up your career.
Oh, yeah.
It'd also be a crime.
All right, so you spend a few years in prison.
You could
What's the big deal?
What if you faked it? What if you just got a friend to just like special effects and scream and, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit and chop.
I appear to have been scalped recently.
Yes. So you could use your dad. You could use put a little ketchup on his head and roll around on the floor.
Where's my insulation? Yeah.
Is that true you lose most of your heat out of the top of your head? Is that a transition for you? Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
That people say you lose heat out of the top.
And that's why, one of the reasons why when you ski, you wear a nice ski hat like that holds that heat in.
Well,
that's interesting.
Have you ever, I thought of this the other day, weird transition, but have you ever held your iPhone and when you've used it a lot and there's a lot of calculating going on, your phone warms up?
Oh, yeah.
You feel it warm
up? Absolutely.
Right.
Maybe that's what happens with hair, that smart people are calculating so much.
Hair burns.
They're so smart that their hair just
can't stand.
Just can't.
Singed off.
That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. In a weird way.
To explain why you and I have quite a bit of hair.
I know. That's what I was.
Not too much going on.
I know. We're not owning a club in a house in the hills.
Yeah.
No, we're recording a podcast on a cheap-ass laptop.
I asked Mitch the definition of the word innuendo, and he thought it was Italian for preparation H.
In your endo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. That's really
now,
good stuff.
I said that because that just to show people what you can do to set comedy back 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Jokes.
Hey, but folks.
Somebody told me, use a pun, go to jail.
Use a pun, go to jail.
Use a pun, go to jail.
Now, okay, this is my opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do?
Oh, yeah, one of the finest jokes of all time.
Yes, one of the finest jokes of all time.
Okay.
I tell it because I am masochistic.
Uh-huh.
No one ever laughs. I think it's a funny joke. The vaudeville comedian's on stage. He says, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present the smartest horse in the world. And this horse comes trotting out. There we go.
That's good.
And he goes, all right, boy.
Very accurate.
He goes, how much is 2 plus 2? and the horse takes his hoof and goes. And the guy on stage goes, come on, boy, one more. Now, I think that's funny.
That's the punchline. That's what's scary about it.
Now, I like that.
Why is that funny? Because
the guy is stupid.
The guy's stupid. Yeah, the horse is smarter than the guy.
Well,
I think, you know, no one's that. You're the first person who's ever even giggled at that joke.
Yeah.
And yet I tell it year after year.
You say it just to watch people, whether they're going to figure out that the guy is stupid or not.
They don't laugh. They walk away mumbling under their breath.
Angry.
He owns a comedy club?
You would think he would steal better material.
Yeah, that's right. That's the best material. Speaking of stealing, I remember in all my years, I dated one comedian. And she tells the story of an MC back east. And she watched him the first night she was in. Usually got in Thursday, you know, Thursday through Sunday, something like that. She watched him, and he's doing all the material of the other comics that are coming in week after week after week. Uh-huh. It's all stolen material. And he's getting great laughs. And she calls the owner of the club over, and she says, you know, your guy is doing everything's stolen. And the owner goes, well, we know that, but don't mention it to him because it upsets him.
Wow.
He doesn't want to hear that.
He doesn't want to hear the truth.
He doesn't want to hear that.
Wow. He thinks he's fooling everybody. He thinks.
Yeah. Well, I had that same conversation with a club owner down south at one of the – I go, this guy is using my material and a couple other people's material, and he's like a best of album. And he goes, yeah.
Oh, he didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't care. I go, yeah. And I go, well, weren't you going to say something? He goes, it's not my job. Hmm. You guys, it's your job.
Well?
And I go, what do you mean it's not your job? Why hire a guy? You know, he goes, my job is to make people laugh. And if I can get him cheaper.
Wow.
It was like a weird, you know.
Yeah.
The club owners are supposed to be the sentinel, isn't it, or in a way?
Well, my feeling is, as a club owner, you certainly should make sure that what a person's doing is their own material, that they're not stealing from other acts.
Comics have gotten to fights over that in the past, have they not?
Yeah, I think so. Have you heard of anything like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely I've heard about the fight. I heard about one guy that actually, he saw on TV, it was a New York comic, he knows who he is if he hears this, it was a New York comic, saw somebody from L.A. do one of his jokes on TV. Mm. He came all the way to L.A., knocked on the door, got up the door, he punched him, and he went back to New York.
Got back on his plane.
Yeah.
Well, imagine, your product as a comic is a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, you come up with a punchline that is so good that the audience laughs tremendously every time, 100% of the time. It's fabulous. Well, guess which line someone's going to steal, right?
That one
so
right
they're
there.
After your they're going to steal your best product stuff. That's taken you maybe years to develop.
Yeah,
that's a serious crime,
right?
As far as I'm concerned.
And one thing that's very hard on comics, if you're not on TV regularly or if you're not in LA regularly, you know that your stuff is getting borrowed. You know that because they assume you're not going anywhere. Mm. I'm going to use it, and I definitely have worked with a couple people that I've seen that I've worked with, and then see their next TV appearance and see something that's very, very
tweaked. Yeah.
And it was tweaked. It was. I don't know if you remember a joke I used to do about pierced lips. People that pierce their lip, and I go, you know, one day you're going to bite down, and look like a Play-Doh Fun Factory. You know, the dough is just going to come out your well. This female comic of Italian descent said, one day you're going to bite down on it and your faces look like a pasta machine.
Mm.
Similar.
Same joke. That's the same joke.
Similar, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she had worked with me before she did the TV.
Right.
And so I like, okay, it's a little too close and I can see how you can make it your own because you're Italian and now it's a pasta machine.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to probably hurt your career, but still, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, especially when you're struggling out there, you're trying to, like, I want the TV shot. Why didn't my own joke make it to TV?
Yeah.
Why didn't you like my joke enough?
At least give me a credit at the end.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things Robin Williams was accused of, especially earlier on, was stealing. And I think what would happen is he would just watch comics And then when he's on stage, everything's just flying out of his brain. And it would just come out. He doesn't even think about stuff. So what he, as you know, I'm sure, what he started doing, he wouldn't go into the showroom until it was his time to go on. He wouldn't watch other comics.
Didn't want to be influenced.
Yeah, didn't want to be influenced. Didn't want it to go into his brain. Just tried to avoid that. So
I always thought that that was really what was happening, and I never had much of a problem with it because he always talked of himself as being – he improv'd a lot.
Yeah.
And part of improv, even if you watch a troupe, is knowing when to say something at the right time. And you know what I mean? So they're pulling out old movie lines. If you watch improv, they've got old movie lines or skit lines or something that fits that moment in time. And I think that's sort of – Robin, he had an improv background – so his deal was, this is the perfect time to say this. This is, and he didn't think of it as I'm stealing a bit. He was just throwing
stuff out. And I don't even think he was using his conscious thought. He was just he wasn't editing. Stuff was just coming out, and so it came, it was in his brain from something he heard, and it came out, and didn't matter if it was someone else's. It never even occurred to him, probably. So I remember. When I used to MC, which is low man on the totem pole, definitely, and I had my little hack, 6 or 7 minutes that got the audience up. Every once in a while, when I was feeling courageous and I wanted to play real comic, I would just put myself in the position where I just started talking to the audience about something, and it was very strange because you're talking to the audience and your brain is going, okay, Bob. At least that would be my brain. Your brain would go...
The same exact place.
Okay, Steve.
Okay, think of something. Yeah. Save this moment.
Yeah, your brain's going, I got you. It's been 30 seconds. You need to come up with something funny to get out of this and move along. And what was amazing to me is that within a few seconds, something would come out of my mouth that got a laugh and got me out of it. But it wasn't anything I consciously thought about.
Right.
I did in my brain, it didn't go, say that, that'll be funny. And then it just, the subconscious... just threw it into your mouth and it came out.
And that's why you would make a very good radio DJ. That's as we were, you and I were talking earlier at lunch. I think that's your brain has to be able to do that. It has to be think of something on the spot, where where some comics are just word written. Everything. These are the jokes I wrote out. They're looking at their notes before the show. Blah blah blah. And that's exactly what you're going to get. So I think when you do radio a lot, it's that it's
you're
that,
doing that
in that live moment. You're discussing it with somebody, or your guest comes on, and
that's a scary way to live your life. It's kind of comfortable to be just
very,
saying what you've memorized that you know works, versus hoping your subconscious is going to get you out of a jam by throwing stuff in your mouth.
It's never too late, Dad. That could be your second career.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you can start doing
radio for senior citizens.
It's called
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Turn your volume up.
What do you say?
It's time for radio for seniors. Turn your volume up. Put your walkers away. It's Senior Citizens Radio today.
Brought to you by Jitterbug Phones.
Yeah. That would work.
Call the show. Dial on your big ass number pad.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
But no, I think that's the way that I have to write. That is one of the reasons that when you sit down to write, there's guys who can sit down and just write a page of jokes. Just they'll take one topic and there's a page of just jokes. Some great, some aren't. But I can't write like that. It's almost I have to put my brain in a fight or flee place. So you go. I've got this idea I want to talk about, and I'm going to go up here. And then once your brain gets in a comedy mode, it's almost have you felt it where it goes to a different it's in a comedy mode. It's thinking different. It goes to a different vibration.
And that's why you would want your set taped so that you could look back on it when you were in that
kind of state. That's what I needed to say. That's perfect.
And I think that's why a good audience is so important, because if they're a good audience, subconsciously they're encouraging you. You're willing to take more chances and just keep going and flowing with things because it's working.
Yeah.
And encourages you to keep, if they're an audience that after every sentence, their laughter dies and they're just waiting for that next word, they're going to judge it.
Right.
Then that's, that flow isn't there and you're a little more cautious.
Right. Now, Mitch, as somebody younger that has been around and grown up in the comedy club area, and you've seen now probably a lot of transition of comedy, you've seen one-liner comics and pun comics and prop comics. And now the new trend of comedy is basically talking in almost Twitter. It's just non-connected jokes. I mean, they're not even connected. It's like you were just standing there reading Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's sort of kind of one of the new things in comedy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan
what
of that.
Are you not? That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, I'm not particularly a fan of that, because when you see a comic that that is kind of doing little one-liners like that, like I was talking about earlier, that's more someone who's just, or like you were saying, that's someone who's just written it down and they're saying verbatim what they want to say, regardless of how the audience is responding. I said it already today, you know, if I'm watching a show, I want to kind of have the illusion that maybe they just came up with it right now, or, you know, like I'm actually having a conversation with them. So if they're going, hey, I didn't hear today, but that I don't know. That just doesn't do it for me. But
you see a lot of the younger comics doing that. So is that the new trend in comedy, that younger people, does their brain only work in it, that ADD form of like, I got the joke, next.
That hasn't been my experience, actually. I think a lot of the newer comics tend to be doing more, less set up punchline stuff and more stories. At least the successful younger comics.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
Because the long form comedy has always been better. Yeah. Like, you take it's a five-minute bit.
I agree, yeah.
And it was one of the reasons I was told, I've tried several times over the years to get on The Tonight Show. And I always got back, it was great, but you didn't have jokes. It was great, but you didn't have jokes.
Right.
Because basically, I just have to go do a five-minute chunk.
Mm.
It's like, I will talk for, and that's not really what they look for.
They're looking for X number of laughs per minute.
You can't talk about buying a car for 5 minutes. You can't talk about, you know, going to a Sam's Club for 5 minutes, but you can in a club.
Right.
I think when you do one of the longer 5 minute bits, I think that takes personality and talent. Whereas if you're doing little one liners, you could just put that on a piece of paper and anyone could go up there and read it and get the same exact response. So.
Yeah. What about you? What do you think of there, Bob? You like the one line?
I, when you hear a good storyteller, there's a number of them out there, it's fun, and I don't have to have five laughs a minute. I'll go along with it. They're just wonderful at it. So I like storytellers, a little riskier from a club owner's standpoint. Mm-hmm. So while I like them, I do like the person who's doing a little more setup punchline, making sure they're getting enough laps per minute that I'm comfortable with. And I think most audiences, at least the ones I see at the Ice House, appreciate more than a long storyteller.
When you started out, Steve, were you doing more? Because that seems like it's easier to do, kind of just one-liners. Did you ever do that, or from the beginning were you always?
I started off as a prop comic.
Really? Is that true?
You did start off as a prop comic?
What kind of props?
Because I had gone to school for art, and I was working as a cartoonist at the Houston paper, the newspaper, the Chronicle. Oh. I used to come on stage with a giant art sketch pad, and I would draw the news. I would just be like, you know, President Reagan today.
Would that sounds like fun.
Pull President the page Reagan, off. Told wow. the Ayatollah Khomeini, you know, and I was doing that kind of stuff.
Wow.
You know.
I just had
some goofy stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I started figuring out, you gotta need to write a little bit more, and here's a joke. And then it got to the point I realized, I don't want to carry shit around with me.
I do not
want to drag stuff. I want to just show up.
Yeah.
Right. Were I a musician, I would have been a piccolo player. That would have been it. I don't like to carry stuff.
I don't like to carry a guitar, an amp.
I briefly wanted to be a harp player. But
That's true. That's right. And as a dad, I went, okay, well, that's interesting. Because you never want to discourage him. And in my mind, I'm going, please.
Did he really say harp?
Yeah, he wanted to play
it. It was first grade, and there had been a presentation.
Ding, 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 ding. Right, and I'm going, oh, good, okay, great.
You know, playing a harp at a party gets you laid.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
You know, you pull out a harp at a party, and you're sitting on a campfire on the beach, and somebody pulls out the harp.
Yeah.
Oh, it's unheard of.
Tugs at my heartstrings. He did say once when he was younger, I said, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, well, I think I want to be a used car salesman. He did say that. Yes, he did. And I went, because I remember I said, no one wants to be a used car salesman. They may end up that way, but they don't. That's not their goal in life. So
used that's kind of true. I never really thought about that. Hmm. That is not a goal. That is
no
what
one
you
set that goal.
When other things don't work out.
You become a used car salesman.
Yeah, you end up selling Miatas.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Our apologies.
Because even a new car salesman is higher up than working at one of those used car lots down at Hollywood.
They're all dressed up in suits that don't fit, ties that are out of date,
right?
And they little spittle coming out of the side of their mouth. They look hungry when you approach. You know,
drinking out of their sleeve while they're talking to you.
Yeah, you know that this sale is something they need to pay the rent that was due last week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not good. So, Steve, I was just thinking that in the old vaudeville days, acts that were not too good, they would actually have to change their name so that they could get rebooked somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because the owner would think of the venue would think it's a different act.
Right.
So I'm not suggesting that, but what I'm saying is, if you had to change your name for some reason, have you come up with any other names you might use? Or?
I did. At one point, I had a couple of those.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Rex Rocket.
Rex Rocket. Wow. Okay.
Pseudonym?
Just in Time.
Very nice. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
And Rex Cooter.
Rex Cooter. I like that.
Which is, you know, you tearing up the vagina.
Right.
But
that's bad. That's good. Yeah.
But
I was thinking of if a guy's first name is Rock, what are the choices for his last name? What could we come up with? Could come up with like
Rock Hard.
He'd be a porn star.
Yeah. Rock Hard. Starring Rock Hard.
You could be Rock Star.
Rock star.
Got to be a musician.
Or Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No. Oh, he already did it. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. He already took that.
Done. Yeah. Can you
Rock Solid. That would be another porn star, I suspect.
But Rock is pretty gay. And I don't
Rock
mean
is gay?
And we're not supposed to say that in this
Well, that's
age,
not true. I mean, not necessarily. I mean, for instance, what about the old movie star Rock Hudson?
Hello.
Wait.
Yeah.
Hello.
You know, that shocked me when I found out that Rock was
gay.
It really did, because I thought that proved what a brilliant actor that he was.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, look, here's this one that amazes me, too. I don't think we thought, when I was younger, we thought about gay. Because I think a lot of my era looked at Liberace on stage and went, what a talented musician who likes to dress in unusual clothes.
He's so flamboyant.
Yeah, flamboyant. But we didn't go,
he's Mr. Showbiz.
Yeah, we didn't go, this guy is seeing unusual genitalia each night.
No.
No, we just, I mean, honestly, didn't even say, didn't think he was gay, didn't enter my mind.
No, he just hasn't found the right girl yet. That's what I remember.
That's right.
You know, my parents watching Liberace on TV, and you know, he's not married. I don't think he's found the right one.
Right.
He hasn't found the woman that can put up with him yet.
Yeah. Do you know Liberace at all?
I've seen impressions. So.
Okay.
I don't know who Rock Hudson is though. So
you don't know who Rock Hudson?
No idea. You're both pretty old. In case you
we are.
Sorry. Damn.
What was that movie with Doris Day where they're on the Pillow Talk?
Pillow Talk.
I've heard. I don't think I saw that. I've had a lot of people go, Pillow Talk is really a funny movie.
Yeah, it's very, very funny movie. You don't watch the reruns and stuff like that of old movies just to be kind of aware of what came before you?
No. I'm not. That'd have to be an intelligent person. I'm not intelligent at all.
He's good at that with music. He'll know songs and things, and I'll go, how could you possibly know that? You know, stuff from the 40s, and I'm going, how does he... But he hears it. You hear it on, what do you say, remixes? Is that what it's called?
I just listen around, I guess. I kind of listen to everything.
So music is your thing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, at this point, I could see myself going somewhere else. But, you know, I do sound and lights at the club, and music is kind of the direction I'm going in right now. But it could change.
But because you like music, like you said, you're aware of that was big band, or that is that type
right,
of music
yeah,
is
yeah,
called
yeah.
this, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of younger people today, like... You and I, Bob, are both aware of music that came before us. Like, I knew stuff that was written for the Civil War because I heard it somewhere, or you watched it in a movie, and you just you became aware of things that were before your time.
Right.
I don't think a lot of people today care about anything other than what's right in front of them.
Absolutely.
You know, I might know something because that was something my grandmother used to play. But I became aware of it, and it stayed. I don't think a lot of stuff... becomes aware and stays with the younger people.
I walk people around the club younger people and give them a little tour of the pictures on the wall. And I'll go, well, that's George Carlin. Mm-hmm. And they go, yeah, never heard of him.
Who?
Never heard of him. Bob Newhart, no, never heard of him. That's Lily Tomlin. She recorded her first two albums here. No idea who she is.
Yeah. Has Daniel Tosh ever been here?
Yeah, right.
then you'll get yeah. that.
And you hear that from basketball, baseball, football players. The guys now that signed contracts, who's the guy that just signed Michael Thompson's son? What's his name?
Klay Thompson.
San Francisco, 4 years, $70 million.
Wow.
They, in a lot of cases, they don't remember any of the old players who used to play for, you know, $60,000 a year.
And then have to go sell used cars for the rest of the year.
Right, are broke. They've got nothing now. And they're signing these $70 million four-year contracts.
Yeah,
that's crazy. You know?
Now, I think the league actually has done some stuff now where they take the old players and they have pension funds and they help them out because they do realize what they did to make this sport grow.
So. Yeah. I think when it goes like the comedy, that you should be aware of the history of the art.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a comic and you want to know, you should study up enough to know. Because, you know, in the past you could hear a joke and you go, oh, that's a Jonathan Winters joke.
Right.
Or that's a George Carlin joke.
Right.
Where people today, you said, I have no idea. Yeah. So they don't know who they're stealing from, borrowing from.
Influenced
by. You should know the history of whatever art form they're trying to get in on.
You know, we've all been playing this app Quiz Up in the last few days, right?
You've got me hooked
so
on
So I was app. On just general knowledge. So I knew I was playing someone who probably was pretty young because one of the questions was, name the famous other person in the comedy duo, Amos and... So even before the names come up, I know it's going to be Andy. I'm ready. Amos and Andy. She chose George.
Amos and George.
Not the same. And I went.
You know what? Got to be someone under 30
like,
years of age.
Rechallenge. I'll play you again.
Amos and George.
That is getting hooked on Quiz Up. Is now I'm saying that if you don't have this, get the Quiz Up app.
Trademark.
It's not by us, but whoever. Yeah. That is one of the most fun things that I've done in quite a while.
Isn't it odd to think here we are four of us, we were in a room, and instead of talking to each other, we're all playing Quiz Up.
You know, and some of us with each other. You can
challenge
each other on the room.
And it's a multiple choice game, and they have over 600 categories. So whatever you know, you can do. It's fun. It is addicting. It's, yeah.
And I think people will play a category that they know they're good at.
Right.
Like you, I did country music and was just kicking everybody's butt on country
right.
music.
Right.
So I think what you would be good at is to play games that you don't know. So you actually
you learn something. Well, I found the people that if you beat them, there are some people who right back, they challenge you. They want to play you again. They want to beat you. And there are other people who instantly go, I decline. I don't want to see this dude ever again.
Right.
Because they want to play someone they can beat. It's really important to them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's a good game.
We're
Quiz
hoping
up.
For some sponsorship from Quiz Up.
Quiz Up. Because,
Quiz Up.
Hey.
Quiz Nose. Quiz Nose Up. That's sandwiches and trivia.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for
we're
doing great. We're at 55 minutes.
All right,
that's about,
okay.
We do about an hour here on the podcast.
That went pretty quickly.
That was fun.
See, you were worried about. We're like, how long have we done?
I know.
You get in a room like this and you start talking, and next thing you know, you're talking about calculating horses and tomahawks and you know.
Well, that's a tribute to you, partially.
Partially.
Have you had any guests on that were a little rugged for you?
I've had a couple.
Just trying to get something out of them is like, come on, just pull some words out, say something.
Right. A lot of times you'll talk, you know, hey, I remember when you did such and such album? That was one of my, oh, thank you.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I opened the door for you. Didn't the kid, you go, yeah, that album was recorded at Caribou Ranch, and my bass player on that album was such a, like, sometimes you just get people that just...
They got nothing to say.
No.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that earlier, which is some comedians who are great on stage are not good on radio with an interviewer. Some who are good with an interviewer are not that good on stage. So it's a different kind of skill.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people that get near a microphone like this get tense. There's something that go into like, Well, I don't want to. What if I say this something stupid? Really, what if right. I? Right. I'm not used to this. A year, yeah. You know. What if I? What,
now, what was the deal that you, that both Mitch and I were required to strip down naked on this thing? What's that about?
Well,
that
was, see, I see, Dad, yet, you've gotten a head start on.
Yeah, I did, and yet you're clothed.
Well,
what's that about?
I'm the host.
Oh, okay.
And it, this is just part of the. The part of the deal where I get you naked,
yeah,
and her. Then I turn the computer around and oh. I get the Skype shot.
All right, okay. So, all right. I thought it was to relax podcast. Us.
Yeah, no, it is to relax,
us. And yeah. I did it because if it's I did it for the art.
Yeah. Well, I had no idea you were like Bubba Smith.
I know. Well, thank you. No, that's
is that you, why you brought lubricant?
Yeah, this is so weird because you think you've been talking into the microphone all this time. Oh. Get a little closer to the microphone.
Get a little closer. Hello?
Hey, is this thing on? This thing?
So, Bob, I know you have all, for the Ice House, you have all the internet stuff. Tell people how to find the internet Ice House. What's the Twitter and Facebook?
Okay, Steve. After an hour, you had to ask me that question.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Ice House website.
Okay, what's that?
Which is icehousecomedy.com.
Okay, that's okay.
So go there, uh-huh. And that'll teach you how to get to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever else.
And all that stuff is there.
All that stuff is there. You can find every show that's at the Ice House. And please come out and pay to get in, because I have a son that I need to support for how many more years?
I'd say... a good decade.
Decade.
At least a
unless
decade.
My another... tomahawk career.
Unless the tomahawk comic right, takes okay. off.
All right, good. All right, let's go tomahawk.
Yeah. What about you, Mitch? I know you get the music thing. Are you posting on SoundCloud or is there something?
I am posting on SoundCloud. You can check me out. My name is Too Soon. TOOSOON. It's all really subpar. Because
it's too soon?
Because
it's just too soon.
Too soon.
I remembered mine. Too late.
Too late.
Too late.
Too late and too soon.
Too short.
Yeah. Too short. Yeah.
That's already
too soon. Quick.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Too now, how far. Did you choose too soon? How did that come
just,
into
just,
your?
Just life hit me too soon. You know, it all happened too fast.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Uh huh. It's like Bob. This is a weird comeback around, but you on Quiz Up is IQ.
IQ like, one.
IQ one.
I changed it, but
you did change
that
it.
That was
now?
IQ one. I don't know.
Because if somebody wants to challenge the
yeah
Bob Fisher,
I know that was weird.
So you
yeah. So I got that. Now it just says I changed it to Bob.
Bob.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I get a no lot one... more people who are challenging me now.
So well, guys, thanks for actually coming on the podcast and
Steve,
doing this. And
this has been one of the top. 600 or 800 pleasures of my life.
At least top 600, 800.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And when I wrap up the show, this is the way it has to go, because I say it every time. God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys.
Nice.
All right. I don't know who that is. But
see?
Okay.
We got to turn him on to the Oak Ridge Boys.
All right. Yeah, they'd be good.
See ya.
Bye, Steve. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it. I hope you enjoyed the show. Bob Fisher. Mitch Fisher, his son. Mitch is doing the DJ thing. Check him out on SoundCloud. I want to say thanks again for listening to the podcast. I sure do appreciate it. If you feel like making a donation to the podcast to help keep us alive, we'd do that. We are now looking for advertisers and sponsors for the podcast. I'm talking to a couple of people. It's going to be big. It's going to be huge. You could be in on this, and I appreciate that. I want to say thanks to Sheila G's Brownie Brittle, a company that has been giving us some product to give away on our other podcast that we do. The girlfriend and I do Wrinkled Sheets podcast, and we've been giving away Brownie Brittle on that podcast. So if we can get Sheila G's Brownie Brittle over here on this one, that would be great. If you got some other products you want to do on here, hit me up, McGrew@MSN.com, or you can hit us up at remasculate@gmail.com. That's remasculate@gmail.com. All right. Thanks again. We'll see you next time here on Remasculate.